Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining today's webinar on SAP Security Essentials for Utility Providers. My name is Hadley Coulter, and I'll be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping notes. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. We welcome you to enter your questions at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player on your end to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. And finally, please note that the session is being recorded and we'll share a link to the session after we wrap up today. Now I'm going to pass it over to our three presenters. With us today, we have Mariano Nunez, CEO and co-founder at Anapsys, Jason Nations, Director of Enterprise Security at OGE Energy Corp, and Aaron Hughes, Head of Cybersecurity Advisory North America at SAP. Thank you all for joining us today, and I'm now going to pass it over to Mariano.
All right. Thank you very much, Hadley, and it's really my pleasure to welcome everyone. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone, and good evening, really, to this amazing panel that I have here with me today. Aaron, Jason, it's a pleasure to see you both, and thank you very much for joining us today. I know we don't have much time, and we have a lot of topics and questions to cover. I know there were a lot of questions from the industry and experts on how do we really secure SAP applications, especially for utility providers, but more in general, I think for any large organization looking to better protect their SAP systems. So Jason, I would like to start with you, actually. I know you're the top cybersecurity executive at one of the largest utilities in the U.S., I'd love to understand a bit more, how do you think about the importance of SAP to the business, right? And then we'll go a bit deeper into the security side, but what does SAP mean for you at OG&E?
Well, sure. So yeah, I mean, SAP is a critical component for us, right? We utilize it to do lots of activities across our business, from the more commoditized, what we think of as kind of IT processes, and then also other areas that are more specific to the way that we operate our business, for doing power restoration or maintenance jobs at power plants and all sorts of things. It's really, really, really intricately tied to many things we do across our business.
Right. And I think that's one of the key points that we typically see is, like, if what I just heard you say is, like, it's a very critical part of the business, right? Like, one of, I would say, kind of crown jewels, high value assets. Why do you think that, if it's so critical, I know, to you, and especially with many other organizations that may be starting kind of the journey earlier, why do you see still so many companies that have this SAP blind spot kind of when it comes down to their core cybersecurity programs?
Well, I think its complexity makes it something that makes it a little bit more difficult. I think that it's also something that is very specific as far as security controls go, right? My journey in this started, and I had a desire to gain more visibility, and so to be able to get log data out of it,
right.
A previous legacy version was significantly harder than it is today. And so we needed to be able to, honestly, the thing that I would tell you is that I had a desire to make sure that our SAP environment had feature parity. From a capability perspective and a maturity perspective from a security perspective across everything we do, right? So whatever we're doing in SAP should have parity with other applications that we do. And so we should have role-based access controls or encryption or logging or event management or vulnerability management or managing our code base, all those sorts of things. I think it's important to make sure that we have both. I have all of those things across, my SAP environment, and then what I would say is my non-SAP environment within my corporate networks.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. And that's what we've seen very commonly happen, where you have, again, a lot of large organizations running very mature security programs. They have all these set of controls and capabilities on the non-SAP side of the house, and kind of this irony where you have a critical set of assets that are not, I really love the word you use, feature parity, right? You have a very different, like, a lower security posture and capabilities in the most critical assets, right?
Yeah. Normally, so, we wouldn't think it would be tolerable to say that this is a lower trust zone than something over here, especially with a criticality would increase the need to be able to make that system or environment more trustworthy. So yeah, it's a little bit abnormal, and I think that it's something that with the newer versions of SAP we're really seeing take big steps to be helpful, that security is baked in instead of bolted on. I think that's a function too, that it's you know, my original environment dates back to, I think, 1996 or so, and we just thought differently, you know, so that's a big part of it.
Right, yeah. I think actually it's a great segue. You're talking about what kind of the date of the environment, and I think there has been a very interesting evolution on how we as an industry can see what SAP security means, right? And I'd love to maybe ask you, Erin, a really two-part question here. I know you've done a lot of really good presentations on thought leadership in this area. How do you see the scope of what SAP security means really has changed over the last decade? And the second one, given your position and role at SAP, we'd love to get your perspective on how you've seen SAP itself evolve in response to these changes over the last decade.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been a ride, right? SAP has been around for 50 years. I think we're approaching 51 if we're not there. And so, you know, when we started, it was really an on-premise world, and we were talking primarily about ERP, right? And so when we talk about changes from an SAP security perspective, it's breadth as well as depth in terms of, you know, the types of questions our customers have. And so you have an evolution from a deployments perspective, moving from on-premise to cloud and most likely a hybrid scenario of both. And you also have business processes from an SAP perspective, and then certainly beyond, extending beyond just ERP, right? And so we're talking about ERP as well as some of the best of breed line of business solutions. And so the questions that we get from customers are certainly changing. If you were to look in the past, a lot of the security questions were more around, you know, where does security fit into your software development lifecycle? What do I as a customer need to consider and be doing to protect this, solution or a set of solutions that we have from SAP, and perhaps some questions around integration into a broader landscape? And that has certainly changed, right? I think obviously we're talking more about shared responsibilities, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, but those questions do still remain. There's also, though, a lot of other questions around, you know, how does SAP protect data? And then in the same vein, SAP, because of the, previous view of the ERP, was really more of a back office system. Not necessarily something that the front office used as much. And so it was very SOX relevant for financial compliance for those that aren't necessarily applicable to SOX. And so as long as I was passing my audits and nothing was on fire, it was quote unquote good enough. We use that term a lot. And so there was a big focus on controls that were more applicable to financial compliance as opposed to, you know, cybersecurity and security of the system at large. So we're seeing a shift, I would say, in the types of questions that customers have and the information that we need to be providing, given that we have this, mixed landscape, if you will. And it's all good stuff, right? Because at the end of the day, we need to make sure that everyone is very clear on, you know, security roles, responsibilities, and what customers can be doing from a technology perspective as well to just continue to add to their arsenal of securing their landscapes, SAP and beyond.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I know you and I talk a lot about these ideas you were covering on financial compliance and how most of that really materialized with segregation of duties controls, right? And really making sure, like, who can do what, and if we are able to kind of check that box, which, again, is a very important part of the security posture of the environment. But what, like, your perspective, is it good enough today, right? And I think it's not a problem with those controls. It's more about the threat landscape and the reality around those environments really changing, right? So they used to be very back office. Now they're kind of on the front end, connected to everything, and really the threat landscape has changed a lot there.
And it's not to say that what we were doing should be minimized. It's still very important.
Absolutely.
There are just additional tactics that should be used to make sure that we're securing the applications of today, not the applications that have served us well for, you know, the past, but making sure that we're also evolving from a security perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because if you can go all the other way, right? You can think that you don't need to do SOD. You absolutely need to do SOD. You absolutely need to have those controls. It's really expanding that definition of what SAP security and ERP security is. I'm curious, this is a bit off script, but I know we work very closely with the product security response team at SAP. Curious about like your kind of maybe the evolution you've seen also in SAP in terms of like working with researchers, working with the community, because I think you've done very, very impressive work over the last year. So love any perspective on that from your side.
Yeah, you know, I think that we partner with a number of security researchers. I know we have hundreds at this point. We have a bug bounty program. You know, it's obviously something that is critical to SAP, and Onapsis is a big part of that as well from a partnership perspective. Because again, the types of questions and the motivations, if you will, of some of the threat actors have changed, and that has impacted, you know, our need to not only respond, which we've always done, but be able to also do so in a very efficient manner and communicate well and make sure that we're reacting as you would expect.
Yeah. I think that's been, at least from the, as a third party, I know a very, very close partner that have seen this evolution from the, kind of, I would say, outside, but pretty close to SAP over the last decade. It's really impressive, especially the last 5 years. We track a lot of key metrics, right? We reported over 700 zero days, worked together on really coming out with those patches. You can see very clearly the last 5 years, the time to patch, right? When since the Onapsis Research Labs reports a new vulnerability from SAP coming out with a patch, you see a very, very marked evolution and improvement on the time to patch to make sure customers can be protected, as well as all the things we've done together with good government agencies and partners in the industry to raise awareness. So I think it's a really marked cultural change at SAP that really, I think it's been very well received by the market and the customers. So it's really, really impressive to see. So talking a bit about changes and kind of different dynamics, this is a question to both of you. Of course, one of the key, I think, changes happening with this new kind of growth cycle and refresh cycle is really all these digital transformations underway, going to S4HANA, going to cloud, to RISE. Maybe I'll start with you, Erin, and then we'll have to get your perspective, Jason. But what do you think are the key considerations from a security perspective when you're migrating SAP to the cloud, going to SAP RISE? What do you think is most important for people to consider as part of those type of transformations?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest is, and I mentioned this briefly, is responsibilities, right? Because the reality is that when we talk about cloud, there are different deployment scenarios of cloud, and really understanding who is responsible for what as you are partnering with your, you know, with your partners in the cloud is critical. Understanding at the infrastructure layer, at the system layer, at the application layer, you know, and then at the functional application layer, even who's responsible for what, and how is that evolving? And very importantly, I think, are there opportunities for improvement? Right, it's not just shifting the task of who does what. You know, we talk a lot about digital transformation and transformation in general as we move into the cloud. And there is certainly an opportunity for security transformation as well, because we don't just want to necessarily carry forward the processes, the controls that we've had in the past and just apply them to this new environment. Not only because things are changing and we have to adapt the controls, you know, to take into consideration those changes, but also because there really is a better way of doing things in a lot of cases, especially when it comes to SAP security, as we're moving perhaps from an on-premise to a cloud environment or a hybrid scenario. There's a lot of technology that can obviously help to, you know, automate and be more proactive in terms of managing your overall security posture. And, you know, there's definitely ways to get a health check of what you're doing today, as well as just, you know, take, again, embed some of this and be more proactive as we move forward, as opposed to, I think, Jason, what you said earlier, kind of bolting it on at the end, right? That's certainly how it's operated in the past. We want to make sure that, you know, we're taking advantage of the opportunity when it comes to transformation to do that for security as well.
Absolutely. Jason, we'd love to get your thoughts from a customer view. How do you think about these type of initiatives? What's important to you?
Yeah, I think there are benefits to being able to get this into the cloud from a reliability perspective, from an availability perspective. I think, you know, shared responsibility is something that's very clear that you've got to get right, or it's a pitfall. If we were all on-prem, right, we could put firewall rules and other things that we had control around, saying, hey, this can't be accessed from the internet, or it can't be accessed from any network but this one. So that allowed us some protection if we've got systems that are now, you know, in RISE or, you know, hosted somewhere, then we've got to make sure we protect them in the appropriate ways. And it's a really big challenge. And that then your SAP security goes from being very much like segregation of duties and role-based access control and passwords to what's our code look like, and what are our permissions, and who can touch it, and where does the data go to and from, and lots of things there. So I think having visibility, I think understanding RACI is what really comes to mind as to who's accountable and responsible and who really is doing that sort of stuff. That's been a fun thing for us as we've been going through this transformation. And for me, it starts with having visibility, and then now at least we're understanding what's happening within our environment so that we can then adjust and maneuver and change the way we're operating to make sure that we're covering any issues that we might have or discover.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you put a lot of thought into that part of the kind of at the outset, right? Really in the front end of the project, really making sure that you were designing a transformation with security in mind, right?
Yeah, because look, Aaron sort of alluded to this, right? We've had some legacy things going, and that we shouldn't just assume, well, we've always done it this way, so this is the way that we should do it before. I would tell you, as a security person, it's not my job to tell the business exactly how an HR system or a supply chain system or some preventative maintenance job, a more probably traditional ERP type system, should function. It's how do we do that securely, right? So the business says, this is my use case, and then we say, great, here's how we would do that securely. So getting the right architecture, making sure that we know how our data is protected at rest and in transit, and how we are making sure that we are protecting our environment is really important. And that gets down to, again, I would go back to feature parity, the same sorts of things that we've been doing with other potentially more commoditized systems in the cloud are the same types of things now we're doing for our, and I like the way Aaron talked about it, right? I think of this in my mind as an ERP, but it's so much more than that. That if we were just broadly, colloquially say our ERP environment, then this is how we would protect it. And so, you know, vulnerability management really matters. I think we sort of talked about the speed to patch. We can probably all think about the cadence that we used to have with respect to how frequently we did patching in our on-prem systems in the past. And now we're doing that at a different pace and with an entirely different set of expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully you can still hear me, Jason. And everything. Like, it looks like my browser is sort of crashing here, but can you still hear me?
I can still hear you.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm glad. I may lose you, but for some reason my browser, of course, it had to happen during the panel. So maybe before I lose you here, one of the things I know we discussed as we were thinking about this panel, how we get kind of provide the most value to the audience, is what are the three things you recommend to CISOs and CIOs that still have this blind spot? Maybe they're thinking about starting this journey, digital transformation. Like, where do they start? What do you recommend here to as kind of three things that they can kind of put in practice at their jobs today? So maybe Jason, we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I sort of feel like maybe I'm just beating the same drum, but I think, again, trying to establish the programmatic level maturity across your SAP environment is really important. I think taking it as a program is probably the most effective way to do it. This isn't a solution that's solved by a tool per se, right? We utilize the Onassis platform as part of our program. It's a critical piece, but you know, it's a program, right? Because we've got, and I think this is one of the things that makes SAP security difficult, is there are multiple different parts of an organization that are accountable for different pieces and components. And so we've got our development team, we've got all of our business needs, we've got other business units that are active in utilizing the tools, utilizing SAP Engage, so that if we've got to make changes, if we've got to take stuff down to patch it, if we've got to change the code base, if we've got to adjust permissions, like that, we're not creating a bad user experience. And so we've made this a program, we've really made maturity within that program a keystone, and that is really valuable. We're reporting on metrics of how we're doing. We are engaging other members of our organization to help us to make sure that it's still valuable and useful, right? Because if it becomes this thing that's a brick wall with brick ceilings and brick floors, but you can't get any data in and out of it, it's not very valuable. So we're trying to make sure that we're not treating it like a nuclear missile silo, but we treat it like the level of security that's required. And so that's a partnership, and that's with Onassis. We've had great success there. I don't mean to say that as a shill, but I'm a bit of a fanboy here, because the way we're utilizing your staff and your product within our program has been very valuable to us and has helped us to move forward pretty significantly, right? And that's been a journey. We started with a couple of modules and we've expanded out, and you guys continue to evolve your features. And again, we can't solve the problems that we think about from our legacy environment. We have to solve the problems of our legacy environment and everything that happens in the cloud, because those are the challenges. I apologize. Don't mean to monopolize. Aaron, feel free to jump in.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the programmatic piece is key. And I think, you know, when we talk about it, there's a few things. One is to talk about it more operationally and align on terminology, because SAP teams and use different terminology in a lot of cases than information security teams. If they're not, you know, aligned on that, that can be a stumbling block that really we can move out of the way to begin with. And I, you know, the term security, again, from an SAP perspective, a lot of SAP security teams cover more of that identity security, if you will, users, roles, authorizations. And we're talking something different when we're talking about application security, right? The term GRC, IT GRC is something very different than SAP GRC, right? And the solutions that we have in this space. So I do think that getting some of that out of the way to align on terminology and start talking about, you know, the operational pieces of securing your landscape. Again, even down to the network layer when we talk about responsibilities, but when we look at the system, the application, and then whatever your you know, process layer looks like, whether it's regulatory responsibilities or data privacy responsibilities, right? Taking that holistic look and aligning on that, because then ultimately you're also aligning back to risk. We talked a lot about responsibility, and I guess obviously, you know, aligning on blind spots. Information security has had a lot of visibility into infrastructure layer for a long time. We know that for a lot of customers, SAP has kind of been a blind spot, right? So how do you get that visibility? What technology can you use to be able to have that same visibility when you're talking about, you know, managing threats and vulnerabilities, so that you can tie that into the broader landscape? I think that's key as we all look at evolving the security of our SAP landscapes, because the reality is that there's a lot of, you know, technology that's available, for example, and we know Anapsys is a great partner in this space. It's, you know, but again, if we're going to move from where we are today to where we need to be in the future, we need to be able to leverage that so that we can make sense of it as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Aaron and Jason. And it looks like Mariano is back. Mariano, can you hear us okay?
I can, yeah. And I apologize for that. Of course, all this has happened live during a panel. So I was able to hear most of it, but I know if you guys could hear me. So thanks a lot, both of you, for that perspective. I know it's very useful for the audience. And I think, Hadley, just checking time here, doing a quick time check, I think we have a few minutes for questions from the audience.
Yes, we have a couple that came in, so feel free to go through those now.
All right, excellent. Let me take a look here. All right. The first one here I see, can you talk more about the blind spot? We have VM tools and SIEMs already. I think VM is probably vulnerability management. What are we missing? Jason, I heard you talk a lot about, which I fully agree with, kind of this idea of a program, right? You cannot solve this but with technology alone. You cannot solve this with people alone. You cannot solve this with process. It's really a combination of all of those for a problem like this. What are your perspective on this question? What they have vulnerability management and SIEMs already. What are they missing?
Well, so I would tell you it's probably the application layer side that you might not have the best visibility into. That's at least my experience in our journey, right? We have state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line, expensive SIEM and VM products. They're not necessarily built to be able to consume the log files from, you know, our SIEM. We had to create some parsers to be able to take what was occurring within the application in SAP, be able to make sense of that. And so instead of, we had some homegrown stuff. And so instead of having that, like, that's an area that we are leaning on Anapsys a bit to help us to get the a level kind of ready, steady state of this is where we are, and then to continue to evolve as the platform evolves. So Anapsys is going to do that for us. So I don't have to pay an FTE to be the SAP parser writer for SAP event logs. That was one. And then again, I would say it's really on the application side, right? Like we were doing things on the operating system, even on the database layer, but that all changes when you move into the cloud, and that all changes if you're using RISE, just because of shared responsibility. And so for us, it's about having sort of, again, a programmatic, bigger macro view to let us see who's accountable for what, and who, like, where are we doing well, or where are we not doing well, or where do we see issues or vulnerabilities, right? And so that's the thing, is that I think, as you said, right, it's not a person alone or people alone or not a technology alone, but getting the right people and then having the right visibility. I think if I go back to it, I really do think it's on the application side, not necessarily the operating system side. There is, as Aaron sort of alluded to, there's an entire lexicon of SAP speak that is not native to everyone, because generally you acquire that language skill by being immersed and working within SAP, and that's not a commoditized thing that is necessarily taught in schools everywhere, right, or taught in other organizations. It just depends.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's what you were also saying before, Aaron, about, okay, it's not that you need to drop all that and, like, okay, segregation of duties, for instance, right? And same thing as you're talking, Jason, about operating system infrastructure. If you're staying on-prem, you still need to do that, right? And you have the VM tools and you have the SIEM. Like, I think it's really that gap at the application layer that most people maybe didn't fully understand that they have, and may have kind of this, a bit of a false sense of security with the generic security tools and programs, and they didn't realize they had this blind spot in those capabilities, right? So you absolutely still need to do everything you're doing before. It's just making sure that you're removing this blind spot, augmenting the capabilities with the application layer controls, for sure. Awesome. Thanks for that, Jason. I think we have one more question here, maybe that we're able to cover in 3 minutes. Do you think auditors are going to go beyond SODs and start looking at missing SAP security notes, configurations, et cetera? I think, Aaron, you were talking before about audits and financial compliance, so I'd love to get your perspective on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I do. And I think that the big challenge is, you don't know what you don't know, right? And I think that there's, from a skills perspective, we talk a lot about the cybersecurity skills that are needed and the shortage of people, but that also has to translate into the people that are partnering with us to, provide that third-party attestation and certification of the solutions that, you as customers are running, we as cloud providers are running as well. And so I think that, we're looking at it from a scoping perspective, and the scope is continuing to evolve, especially given, some of the cloud considerations. But even from an on-premise perspective, I think that there is a shift that we're seeing in terms of the type of information that auditors are looking for, just as they, again, link it all back up to risk and really fully understand that. So, again, I think it's a great thing, because at the end of the day, number one is making sure that these environments are secure, and transparency on our side is of utmost importance. We're continuing to put out as much information as we can to help customers evaluate their own risk profile from an SAP perspective, but also understanding from our side, especially when it comes to the cloud, what are the operational considerations? What are we doing to protect customer data in the cloud? And how can we, provide additional information in a more self-service model as well to help our customers stay educated and comfortable?
Yeah, I think that's been fantastic with the Trust Center, a lot of visibility documentation with SAP. That's a great resource for everyone to check and really give you that confidence and visibility on the cloud infrastructure, right? And how SAP is running a very secure cloud infrastructure. I think when it comes down also to what the customer is responsible for, as we're talking about kind of shared responsibility before, it's very interesting. Like, we see this evolution with auditors starting to ask this for this type of evidence, right? Because again, if you have an SOD that is materialized, that could end in a financial kind of compliance situation or issue. We're seeing that it could be the same if someone is missing a critical SAP security node, right? Or have a misconfiguration that lets someone essentially get the same type of privilege, or maybe even higher, like a SAP all in production or equivalent. So it's very interesting to see that evolution for sure. Okay, let me see if we can cover this one quickly. I think, Jason, this is for you. Question from Mike here. What does your corporate org chart look like in relation to SAP security, and are NERC and SOD part of that structure?
So let me just say, yeah, so SAP security would all fall under me, and that SOD certainly does, and then and NERC to a lesser extent because of the way that we utilize SAP in our just our operations around NERC and NERC SIP related tasks. But they all fall under the same organization, and the same people that are doing SAP security, as far as at least from an identity perspective, are also keyed in and tied in and part of the processes for both segregation of duties and then NERC access control.
Awesome. Thank you, Jason. Hopefully that was a good kind of high level overview, Mike. And I do want to thank you, Jason, Erin, for the time. It's great to be sharing this panel with both of you. I appreciate your insights, and I'm sure it's going to be very valuable for the audience to put this in practice at their organization. So thanks again for the time. I'll pass it over to you, Hadley.
Awesome. And that does bring us to time for today. For any of the other questions in the chat, we will be reaching out to you individually to get those answered. Also, just a brief reminder to everyone listening that this session has been recorded, and the link to the recording will be emailed to you. And with that, thanks again to our presenters and everyone joining today's webinar. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.